Well, health was a centrepiece of the budget, capturing more than $11 billion in funding as the government presses ahead with its plan to replace DHBs with a centralised health service. Earlier, Health Minister Andrew Little told me this budget will help solve the ailing funding of the current DHB system.
The collective deficit for this year is expected to be about $550 million. So we will pay an additional $550 million into the system here on in. In addition to that, we'll add another $1.3 billion this year and each subsequent year. And then from the next financial year, an additional $1.3 billion over the rest of the period. That is the big chunk of the money. That just allows the hospitals or Health NZ and the Māori Health Authority to meet the pay increases that need to be made, pay the contracts to GPs and other health providers, and generally meet the rising cost of health service provision.
Okay, so how much of it is actually going to bureaucracy and how much is actually going to outcomes?
Well, that money I talked about is all money that goes into frontline health services. That's the money that Health NZ will be using to either provide services themselves through the hospital system or enter their usual funding contracts with the likes of GPs, with aged residential care facilities, or the outfits that provide health services. This budget is about money going into frontline health services.
The thing about that, though, is that we don't have enough specialists. We don't have enough nurses. For example, I was talking to a doctor last week. She works at part of Christchurch Women's Hospital. She needs an extra 12 specialist doctors in her department. She only got two. So even if this is going towards pay rises and the like, there's got to be an acknowledgement there that also there's a fundamental understaffing of the health system.
We know that the system is understaffed. There is a worldwide shortage of health staff. We stand in a very competitive market. We do what we can. We also invest in creating our own. So there's more money going into workforce development, more money going into support people to get health qualifications. Some of that is a longer term process, but there's more investment going into that as well.
Is Health New Zealand going to be able to run a deficit like the DHBs have?
Well, no. We're setting this up so that Health New Zealand doesn't have to.
On the Māori Health Authority, $168 million going there when it launches in July. That's really a drop in the bucket when we're talking about $11.1 billion, isn't it?
I think the mistake that some people are making is to look at lines in this budget and anything that has Māori in front of it to think that that is all that the Māori Health Authority is getting. That is wrong. This is a health budget, not a Health NZ budget, and so that there is other funding that will go into the Māori Health Authority for them to pay for or commission services. So, for example, at the moment, there's about $350-odd million a year going to Kaupapa Māori Services that currently goes through either DHBs or the Ministry. That will go to the Māori Health Authority.
But are Māori services going to be funded at the same level as other services?
Well, there's a bunch of funding agreements at the moment that the Māori Health Authority will take over. They have their own commissioning powers, and they will, as they renew contracts and hopefully expand the number of contracts they have with Kaupapa Māori health providers.
Is that an acknowledgement that, no, they don't get funded at the same rate?
No, I don't know what the comparison is. They get funded to provide health services, and they negotiate the contracts in order to provide those services.
It seems extraordinary to me that that's not a comparison that you have.
We know that there is health inequity. There's health inequity because there is an inequity of access. There's not enough health service provision. I would expect that funding contracts, the literally tens of thousands of them, there would be consistency between them.
If I can also talk to you about Wellington Hospital Emergency Department. Our reporter, Phil Pennington, he has details about how the structure might fail in a quake. Apparently, Wellington Hospital has looked at whether to fix the ED but has decided on relocation. What do you know about this? What percentage of code is the Wellington ED building?
I'm not quite sure what code it is, but I'm aware that they have been putting together plans to relocate because they need a larger space and a more versatile space than they have at the moment.
Okay, so I understand that the ED needs to change anyway, but specifically on the quake issue, the Wellington ED, what is your understanding about the risk that it poses to the staff and to the patients in it?
I haven't had any advice about the seismic status of that building posing a risk to staff and to patients. What I have been advised about is that the space is small and often inadequate.
So have you not been told that there are seismic problems?
I'm not aware of the seismic issues of the ED at Wellington Hospital. And I think, as we've seen with the Hiratonga building at Hutt Valley, the rating that is given doesn't mean to say a building is an imminent risk of collapse. It means that by comparison to a new building built to the standards set in 2017, it would perform in an inferior way.
That is the Health Minister, Andrew Little.